Hey everybody, Sierra here. A happy Chinese New Year. It is today. That's Lunar New Year, so get excited if you didn't already know. But coming at you weekly, it's another episode of Stay Positive again, episode 4 this time. It's been a fun week, honestly. It's been raining here in Los Angeles, so not that happy about that. But other than that, I know it's freezing in other parts of the country, so sorry for partying. I had the pleasure of going to Boston this weekend and enjoying that negative degree weather. So, I know a thing or two about the cold. I'm very excited for you to dive into this episode. I got to sit down with the really, really talented Megan Lee. You might know her from the most recent season of The Voice, where she competed and was on Team Alicia Keys. Or you might have seen her back in the day when she was the star of Make It Pop on Nickelodeon. Or you know her from YouTube, where she's a YouTube star. I actually didn't know her super well before interviewing her on this podcast, but she was one of those people who I met one day and was like, hey, interesting life, super sweet person. Maybe she'll stop by. And she did. So, yay. Okay, thank you. Bye. Yeah, and hi,
Yay!
Megan. Thank you so much
Hi!
for doing this.
Thank you, Sierra,
This
for
is
having
huge.
me.
Yeah, of course. I was very excited. I think we just saw each other at Comedy Festival where you killed it,
Yes.
doing your first stand-up performance. Is that
Oh.
really your first time doing stand-up
Yes.
officially? That was
Yeah,
incredible.
I was gonna pee my pants because I
Oh
was
my
so
God.
nervous,
I
but
couldn't
it was
tell.
fun.
Yeah, no, you were incredible. And I feel like too, you're from a performing, you're on a comedy show, television show, so you're used to that, but I know that it's daunting to be all right, and then make this live audience laugh, go,
Yeah,
But
I
hilarious
don't know how
stuff.
you do it.
No, I
You
mean,
were
I,
so
oh
amazing.
God, no, it was great. And then
Oh, thank you. I
also, wasn't your
appreciate
mom
that.
there and
Yes,
yeah, and
that was
stepdad,
probably more the
Sure.
nerve-wracking part.
No, that's great. So much respect. Because I also,
Thanks.
my parents used to come to my shows and I think they've tapered off because it's like, I mean,
Oh,
I, there's
yeah.
a lot, it's a lot of shows,
Right.
but it's obviously a whole different ball game if you're like,
Oh,
oh,
yeah.
and my mom is there.
Yeah. My mom was
But it's
like at the
great.
end, she was like, I think you said too much.
Classic mom gimmick. No, that's normal.
I
Mom
know,
and
right?
amazing. Yeah, so that was really cool. And then most recently at the Wong Fu taping for the
Yes.
Halloween sketch, which was so funny.
Asian Halloween. It's good.
Yeah.
Good to be
What did you end
Asian.
up being for Halloween? Did you dress up?
No, I did not dress up. I
That's
should have
fine.
just borrowed the
I
costume
know.
from the shoot.
That was an amazing costume. We were really impressed with Jen's skills of making that
I
Crazy Rich
know.
Asians, I guess Rachel
Mock-up
Chu
dress.
costume. Yeah,
Yeah,
that was
Rachel Chu
incredible.
dress. The
Adorable.
swan dress.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's what we should call it. But yeah, okay, so I mean, okay, Megan, people probably know you from YouTube, obviously. You were on Nickelodeon's Make It Pop,
Yes, I
which is sick.
was.
And then also The Voice just recently,
Yeah.
Team Alicia, which is so
Yes.
cool. So all those things, I feel as if when I was reading your bio online and stuff, you started at such a young age, and
I
that seems
did.
so, that seems like very scary. I don't know, how did you get into it so
I
young?
had a very interesting childhood. I've always just wanted to be a performer and entertainer. I knew that it was just in my blood, in my
Cool.
bones, since I could remember, really. And I told my mom one day that I wanted to be an actor. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Don't be silly. Like, typical,
Oh, okay.
Asian parent reaction. She's like, just study and be in school. But my mom, she wasn't very traditional in the sense that she was always trying to make sure that her kids, me and my brother and my sister, were to be happy doing what we love to do, when it comes to our careers. But
Okay.
she didn't know anything about entertainment, so she's like, oh, don't be silly. That sounds so far-fetched.
Sure.
But I was really adamant about how I wanted to be an actor. I just knew that that's my destiny.
Oh wow.
Because I love to perform in front of my family and friends, and I always like to be center stage on at a church or school
Okay.
talent shows, that kind of stuff. I was just always wanted to be in the center of attention. But yeah, I told my mom one day, Mom, I think I need to get an agent. That's how I can get started.
Hey, pretty innovative at a young age.
I was 7 years old. I'm like, Mom, I need an agent. And she's like,
That's
what?
amazing.
And then I think a few years later, I kept actively telling her how I wanted to be an actor, and I just showed her how much I love to perform. And then one day, I told her, like, Mom, like, since we have the internet, maybe we could look it up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so we
that's
just
amazing.
Like, we searched on Google, technology. Like, LA. Yeah, technology. Thank God. we searched LA talent agencies and just sent in my school photo. And that's how I got my first agent. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, like, usually parents are the ones to, like, push their kids, uh-huh. especially when they're young. Like, not typically in Asian families, of course, but usually when kids first start out, it's because their parents push them. Like, oh, my kid is so cute, or my kid is so active and funny. He or she could be an actor, but it was always just like, no, I want to do it.
Well, that's good, because then that means you're actually in it because you wanted to do it rather than, like, you know, I'm thinking, like, Dance Moms or, you know, like,
oh, yeah, like that would be TV. Horrible. Yeah, especially because it's such a cutthroat industry. Sure. Like, it would be so hard.
It'd be like a lot of pressure from the outside and then also, like, your own. Yeah, but that's, so then, you know, you, like, authentically you wanted to do that, which is, like, wild that also, you know, you knew at a young age, because that seems so rare. But, but that's cool. And then, I mean, from there, like, did you, so you said you wanted to be an actor initially, how did you get into singing, or was that kind of all in the same
It was kind of the same realm, but I guess I just mainly was focusing on acting. My mom was super supportive once we, like, got into it, and once I told her, like, I wanted to be an actor for this many reasons. She took me to, like, different, like, acting workshops and stuff, and when YouTube started to come around, I was, like, 13 when I watched, like, my first YouTube video. My first YouTube video actually was a Ryan Higa video.
Ooh.
And then through my friends at school, I discovered AJ Raphael and David Choi and Kina Granis and, like, all these Asian American YouTubers that were, like, superstars. They're still superstars, but, like, they were like the Logan Paul and Jake Paul of the community. Yeah, they were
OG Paul.
The OG, that's who I looked up to, and I thought, hey, I never saw Asian American faces like on being so popular on mainstream. Well, I mean, it was on the internet, but I thought it was really cool. And I thought, hey, maybe I can upload a video. If they're doing it, why can't I? And so I just got my digital camera, my really crappy digital camera that I had to take pictures of me and my friends. And I sung songs that I loved at the time. Like, a lot of, like, songs from, like, Disney Channel, like, songs by, like, Hillary Duff.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
like,
classics. Yeah, you know? Yeah, bringing out the big guns.
You
That's
know
great.
What I mean? Uh-huh. That kind of stuff.
That's amazing. Yeah, because, like, I definitely like the representation thing now. I mean, now people are getting into it more, and we had, like, Crazy Rich Asians, so it's, like, really mainstream.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Like, even before, obviously, everyone's been on YouTube for so long.
Yeah.
And like, all of my friends, it's so funny because the divide, too. Sometimes it does feel a little bit like if you're Asian American, you, like, definitely saw and, like, worship those people, and then it's like a cliff, and then, you know, it's harder to know if you weren't, because then if you were, like, white, then you can, like, watch television.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So, like, it's so funny because I'll talk to my Asian girlfriends. I remember in college, like, we were like, oh my God, we, like, loved, like, you know, Ryan Higa or, like, everyone.
Still
basically.
Love him.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, that was a huge part of just what we watched, like, regular television. And then
grew up with them.
I know. And it's like, I don't think they, you know, maybe at the time didn't realize what kind of impact they have. And then now they're obviously mega giants. So, like, it makes sense. And, like, you're one of them because you're on YouTube. It's, like, crazy. So that's amazing. And then the fact that, like, you know, you knew to just, like, dive right in, because it's like, we do have the resources. Sometimes people are like, oh, we're going to get that extra camera or whatever. Yeah. But, like, you just went for it. So that's awesome. And then I guess, like, from there, how did you, I know you were talking a little bit about, like, getting involved with your, like, Korean label and, like, K-pop stuff. Like, oh man, I want to get into
did
that for
research?
Sure, but, like, no, but I remember we were also talking about it too.
Oh yeah.
About, like, when we were at, Wong Fu.
Right.
And, another great YouTube, presence, but yeah,
yes, of
you
course.
Know, I don't know what,
how I don't even know why I didn't mention that. I totally watched their, stuff as well.
We all did. Yeah. So I don't know. How did you kind of make that bridge, because you grew up here, obviously.
Yeah.
So that's, like, a big jump.
Like I said, I have, like, a really interesting, weird, unique story, because, I knew that I always thought that acting was my main thing.
Cool.
And it still is. And then when music started to be a bigger impact in my life through YouTube, I started posting videos at 13, 14. And I think my first live performance was through collaboration.
Yeah.
And so through that, and I got to meet like everybody in the community and like just started to become really inspired. And I thought, maybe I could try doing music too. And I think at the time I was realizing I was already like 4 or 5 years in the acting industry. And I started to realize how difficult it is to find roles. Especially because, you know, we didn't have a Fresh Off the Boat. We didn't have Dr. Kid. We didn't have a Crazy Rich Asians.
You'd have to like convince them to make it Asian. Like,
exactly. Yeah. It was hard because I was always the only, I was the only Asian person in the casting rooms. Mm-hmm. And, especially for kids TV or like any kids roles, it's even more competitive and so much harder, to find roles that, you know, would be acceptable for Asian faces. I think at some point I just like found a lot of time in my hands to start making YouTube videos. And then one day I saw an ad for this Korean music singing competition show. Mm-hmm. And I thought, hey, I've never been to Korea before. Me and my family have been talking about going there and visiting or like our distant relatives one day. I just told them like, hey, can I try out for this competition show. And my parents were like, yeah, sure. I didn't really think much of it, but I ended up being flown out to Korea to participate in the show. Uh-huh. And I ended up moving there with my mom and my brother and sister. It just all kind of happened out of nowhere and all at once. And I didn't expect myself to be living in Korea, but it just happened. Like after that show, just thought like, hey, I kind of like ended everything in the States with like, I ended my contract with my agency and my management. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I thought like, maybe I could try a singing career. And so that's what happened. And then I got signed to a label and then it was fine. And it was like a crazy, that's like a whole nother story. But I don't know if you want to get into that.
Yeah,
but like,
get into it. If you don't mind. I mean, it's just so, I think I hear about that. So, because I know they would like come here and like friends who were interested or could sing and dance and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes like go to their cattle call kind of thing.
Yes, of course.
Not that like, you know, who knows what if, I didn't know anyone who actually got it. But like, just that it was such an operation. And
yes.
I think, just very curious about it. If you're willing to share.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of Asian American performers, like artists, with actors or musicians, end up going to their motherland, you know, at some point because...
A lot more opportunities.
Yeah, a lot more opportunities because of the fact that, you know, everyone else looks like us. Yeah. And then if we can speak the language, that's even more of an advantage.
Yeah, cool.
But I didn't know how to speak the language. Okay, I didn't know anything about the culture. I didn't know anything about the language.
And that was your first time going, was auditioning or actually...
Yeah. I was 15 when I first moved out. Yeah, I think I was 14, 15, yeah. And so I didn't know anything about the country.
Cool. Yeah,
and just kind of like learn from there. And I thought, I think I was always just very driven. And I guess just as a kid, I always knew that you have to pay your dues in order to get what you want. And so it's not like I didn't care about the hardships or like how difficult it is to, you know, adjust to a different country's culture and that dealing with language barriers and things like that. And I guess I didn't think of that. I thought, hey, that's okay. I could learn.
Cool.
And so, I ended up learning. Now I'm pretty fluent in Korean. But what happened is that after I got signed, I was a trainee, meaning artist development here in the States, where I would literally sign my life away to a label and I would work 14 to 16 hours every single day, even during the weekends. I would have no break whatsoever, no Thanksgiving, no Christmas, none of that exists. I would be sent to do all different kinds of classes, starting from like Korean, Japanese, etiquette. I would do like dance class, typical like singing, vocal lessons, guitar lessons. That's definitely one of the things I was very thankful for, like all that training, because
I
developed
like
so many new skills.
You,
I developed a lot of new skills and it really shaped me to be the artist I am today. But the most difficult part was kind of dealing with like just being a teenager and dealing with, I guess, a lot of like self-reflection and a lot of like that kind of growth, like learning who I am, because a lot of the times I was just always told to be who, like, be something that I feel like I'm not, and I'm still discovering myself. And that was probably one of the most difficult stages that's begun this whole crazy thing that you might have seen on the internet when you search my name. So with the whole label thing, I haven't really talked about it that much, but at one point, after like 2.5 years me being signed to the label, the label's head, like, it was founded by this singer called Kim Tae-woo, who was the lead singer of this band called G.O.D. Oh. And he founded the company with his old manager from JYP. And he was a mentor to me. He was like a big brother, and he taught me a lot of the things I know now. But at one point, his wife and mother-in-law stepped in and kind of changed the company and flipped it upside down.
Oh, wow.
And they took away all of my classes, and they ended up, like, making me release my song very, it was forcefully, very quick. At the time, I was dealing with a vocal condition, and I still deal with it now. Mm-hmm. And that's from PTSD, from all the stress that I got as trainee.
Sure.
Because I just, I was constantly criticized and bashed, like, overly criticized for not being enough of this or that, or not being pretty enough, not being a good enough singer. And instead of, I guess, nurturing in a gentler way, it was more just beating me. And so, it was just, it was a crazy time. I debuted, I released my first single in Korea, and I thought I got what I wanted, but it wasn't. It was not what I was expecting. I hated to perform because I wasn't able to deliver a performance that I was proud of. Mm-hmm. And it was constantly just a nightmare to be on stage.
Oh, no. Wow.
And it was even more of a nightmare to come back to the label and practice and not be able to, feel like myself. I was not fed, and there's all these things
that you're describing, just
it was pretty horrible.
Diet regimen and all that, and you're so young.
Yeah, I was so young, and they started actually signing contracts that I've never seen before, and that's when I started to lose trust in the company.
Oh wow, yeah.
Yeah, they started forging my actually not the signature, but they have in Korea, they use stamps for, bank statements and whatnot, for, those kind of financial stuff. But they used that stamp that they have for, any, bank statements for, contracts. Signing me to, this musical that I was supposed to do, but I didn't want to. And so, there was, all of these things. And I decided the only way out is through a lawsuit, because I tried to negotiate with them, had multiple meetings with my mom, and was threatened in so many ways shouldn't have said, because it was just really bad. It was just inhumane.
Totally.
Yeah, saying some. Yeah, I don't want to say too much because it's
whatever you're comfortable.
Yeah, it's stuff that happened in the past, and I don't want to bring things up again. But so it was just it was horrible, and so the only way out was through a lawsuit. And thankfully, we ended up winning. We had a judge that was in his right mind and didn't get, fall into the bribes and things like that.
Cause
we had
that
a very...
That could happen, dear.
Yeah, it was crazy. But we were really, really thankful and blessed that we found the cheapest lawyer that we could find.
Okay.
And he wasn't even an entertainment lawyer. He was a divorcee lawyer. We had all our evidence.
Uh-huh.
At 9 months later, we won the lawsuit, and I was able to be freed from the company. And around that same time, I actually booked Make It Pop.
I did see that. It was right after. That's great. So you at least had something to go back to. That was obviously awesome.
It's crazy how life works. In that moment, I thought, wow, life is so crazy. How
sure.
It literally is one door closing, another one open. And a lot of the times, actually, people were saying on the internet how I left the company to do this show, but it was just it just happened at the same time.
Sometimes those things happen,
yeah.
But and then to, have to go through all that so young, I just feel you had to probably just be mature, business person at such a young age, because I don't think, you know, a lawsuit is like so, like I wouldn't even do that now.
Last one.
Yeah, definitely. And being able to be strong enough to know that you don't deserve to be treated that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just like going through that, did it ever like, I'm just impressed too that you like stuck with it, which means you really love performing and singing and acting, but like that's something that could definitely ruin it for someone. Like whenever I watch, you know, I have no experience like that, but I even think like I don't even like sports because I can't deal with like yelling. You know what I mean? Like that's how weak I am. I'm like, I don't want to yell at, right? But to have to go through that and like they could have totally ruined something that you loved, but you were able, like what was able to keep you going kind of when you had those times? Like you just knew it was them and not you, or like did you have anything?
I don't even know. That's like the weirdest thing. Like I don't even know how I was able to still love music, like even after that. I definitely know that like when it comes to like performing and singing, it did affect me a little bit because I developed like PTSD from the experiences, and I developed a vocal condition from that actually. But I think I tried to take the positive aspects because I believe that in life, everything happens for a reason, whether or not you believe in some kind of religion. But I think that that's just the way the world works.
That's great.
Yeah. And
attitude,
And so I know that inevitably, it like, whatever happened was supposed to happen. And I'm supposed to take something positive from it. And I'm actually thankful that it happened to me at an early age, even though it was hard, because I ended up becoming a lot more mature, like faster than I like expected to.
Had to skip some steps there.
Dealing with the real life.
Welcome to the world.
Oh, yeah, welcome to the real world.
Yeah, I'm a lawyer.
I mean, I know that I can take a lot of things from those experiences. Like, if it wasn't for the label, I wouldn't have learned Korean. I wouldn't. I probably haven't even booked the Make It Pop show. Because what happened is that I actually declined the offer when I got it. I flew over to Toronto, actually, behind my company's back to do the final callback. Because they wouldn't let me do it for some weird reason. They're like, oh, Nickelodeon's not a big deal. You don't become a Hollywood star from that. And I'm like, what? This is a much better opportunity than doing this like other musical that I was like an understudy for. And I was getting paid like nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was dumb. So like I came back and I booked the job to Korea, and what was I saying? And then I got a call from the casting saying that I booked the job. And I'm like, so I just filed a lawsuit against my Korean label. I don't want to, you know, mess with, you know, promoting the show, and like I there's gonna be a lot of headlines, I'm sure, and because my label's head, the boss, he's like a really big celebrity. And I know that they're gonna make it a big issue, so I didn't want to like interfere with the new show.
That's very considerate of you that you're like transparent.
I was like telling them like so I'm going through this right now. I just auditioned for it just to see how it goes, and I didn't expect to book it, but I did, and I said I'm sorry, but I'm gonna have to decline. And they're like, oh, okay, we understand. And then 2 hours later I get another call from the executive producer, the creator of the show, Tommy Lynch, and he's like, you're the only one that could play this character. I heard about what you're going through, and I support you all the way, and I believe in you. And whatever it is that's happening, we'll get through it. Just please come to Toronto and film the show.
Great. Okay, cool.
So that's what I thought. Everything happens for a reason.
Damn, and you even, like, turned it down. They're like, please. My God, that's crazy. But, yeah, everything, I mean, obviously, he must have really, like, you must have been that good that it's, like,
I'm really thankful.
You don't care about it. Yeah, like, don't look at the tabloids. Yeah, no, that's amazing. Wow. So then after that, but then 9 months you were in the lawsuit, so that's kind of, like, up in the air. Is that, like, was that a time where you could have maybe had to stick around, so you were, like, not sure? Or you were definitely going to leave no matter what? I don't know how that works, I guess.
It's ended.
Right. Yeah. But, like, you said it was, like,
During that time,
you were like going through the
things. So I didn't even like, so I never went to court. We were always just like represented by our lawyer. Lawyer represented us.
They
I mean,
like negotiating.
There was a lot of press conferences too that I did not show up to because like I just didn't want. I never wanted it to be public. And I was such a yeah, I was such a kid, and they were just like picking on this like 17-year-old kid. Yeah, you're like,
I just want to eat.
Yeah,
like what the hell?
Like, bro, like I just wanted to leave the company. Yeah. I was gonna pay back whatever debt, and which we tried to negotiate, but like they just wanted to pick on me and ruin my life.
Oh my god,
it was bullies. Horrible. Yeah, they were basically kind, bullies,
yeah. Like adults bullying children.
Yeah, all children.
Oh dear. But yeah, so you got out of that, and yeah. Then you did make it pop right after.
Yeah, during the lawsuit time, right after we filed the lawsuit, basically, I like fled to Toronto and I filmed
Canada
the show.
Canada Hope. Yeah, amazing. Yeah. And then what was that like being on set and working with, you know, a bunch of people who probably didn't even know what you had just been through?
Yeah, it was such a weird adjustment because I was living in Korea for like 4 years already. Yeah. And then I finally just adjusted to the culture.
Like, I just got the language down. Like,
yeah, I'm going back to North America.
Right.
And just like, I'm in Canada, this new country for the first time. I'm alone too. I'm not with my family.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I guess that would have been a whole nother move.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was like 18 years old, and I'm like, oh my God, this is like going to college. I was living on my own, and I was scared, but I was excited because I was finally working.
Yeah.
Because when I was with the label, after I debuted, I didn't really get to work at all because my label was not getting things for me.
Okay.
And whenever I get inquiries through YouTube saying like, oh, Megan, we want you to perform at like New York Fashion Show or something like that.
Yeah.
And they would decline it because they thought it was not enough money or for whatever reason, it's because they didn't book it.
Yeah,
they would look down on those inquiries, and I didn't get to work at all. And I was just like so happy that I get to, like, because it's something, booking a Nickelodeon show, like as a kid, like as a lead too at that, like that was always like a dream of mine. And I thought like,
that was like incredible. I mean, we just talked about the fact there's not a lot of Asian American roles.
No,
and then it's
especially
just, like,
on kids' TV.
Yeah, and then a lead, like that's crazy.
Uh-huh. So it was kind of like a very surreal experience. Just what, like, after being in Korea, one day I'm in Toronto and I'm filming a Nickelodeon show, like, what?
Yeah.
And I'm like singing and dancing, and everything was happening so fast. But that, if it wasn't for that show, actually, I probably would have been in deeper despair.
Sure. It kept you busy, and like,
it kept
still
me,
doing what you wanted to do.
So I didn't have time to feel sad. Cool. I was just like, this is what I'm dealing with, but I'm doing this show, I'm going at it, and I'm doing it. And I wouldn't have done it without my mom. She was like, she was back in Korea still, dealing with all of the lawyer stuff,
yeah,
you know,
all
of the law stuff. And I remember like reporters coming to our house and like asking for like interviews, and my mom was like, "No, I do not want to deal with this."
Shut
but
down.
But thankfully it all passed, and we ended up winning. And actually, our case ended up being a really good example to other artists, because it's a huge thing where like K-pop artists, especially like idols, like K-pop idols in Korea, they're just completely they're just not being taken care of in a very inhumane way. It's just a lot of their rights, their human rights, are being taken away, and they don't even realize because they just think that's the way the world works.
Right. I mean, yeah, you talked a little bit about like the understanding of paying your dues, which is a thing, and like in all fields, but there can be a point at which, like, I think in entertainment, especially, people take advantage because they're like, well, you know, you have to do this in order to get there, and you're like, okay, holding out for one more year, you know. And, and so it's good that you guys knew that, and then now people kind of know that, like, oh yeah, you don't have to take this if it's not. But yeah, wow, that is a lot for at such a young age, but also just like, you know, a lot for anyone at any age. But that's wow. So that's crazy. processing, like, wow, okay.
I know.
I
don't know if I did
it
justice. I've told this story so many times, but I haven't really, like, said it on broadcast ever.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for sharing.
But, I mean, it's been, I feel like it's time to, I can talk about it because it's been, like, a few years already.
Okay. Yeah. Have some time to process. Like, did you have a moment to finally like take all that in? I know you were just, if you hopped right into filming, like that would be crazy.
Yeah.
But like, did you have that? When was your first moment where you were like, wow, I have been through shit?
I don't think I had any time to really process it. I think it was just like, because literally after that call, I packed my bags that night, and then I flew
okay,
the next morning.
Wow.
And I think after we're done filming, after like 5 months I was in Toronto, my mom and my brother, my sister and I, we all flew back to LA. We met in LA. Mm-hmm. And we got an apartment and kind of like started from the beginning because we didn't have our house here anymore. Okay, like yeah. My mom and dad actually got divorced around mm-hmm. the time I moved to Korea. Okay. And my mom and dad both sold the house, and like my dad is just living with my grandma. Mm-hmm. And my mom and I were just like, oh, where do we live?
Sure, yeah,
so we're just like finding an apartment and like kind of starting from the beginning again. It's like moving back to a new country, but it's like, totally. This is my home. And so, yeah, that was like, I think that was the time when we were just like kind of digesting everything.
Right.
That's like, after all the craziness, because I was done with the show and now we're just like trying to find and settle our lives.
I see.
Uh-huh. So, yeah.
And then your siblings, are they older or younger?
They're younger. I'm the oldest of three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my brother's 2 years younger. He's 21. Oh. And my sister is 13.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so are they at all interested in entertainment stuff too, or are they kind of...
In more... a way, yes. Uh-huh. My brother used to like making YouTube videos too.
Cool, okay.
He was more on like the editing side. He liked Ooh. To make like a lot of cool like VFX mm-hmm. and things like that, like a lot of action stuff. And my sister liked to sing and perform and dance and stuff like that. But as they grew up, they like to be more behind the mm-hmm, scenes. Mm-hmm. They don't really like to be on camera. They're a little bit more shy. I was just the crazy wild child.
Oh, yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, wow. Yeah, I just always, it's fun, I think, when you're I'm the youngest, but just me and my older sister. Uh-huh. I know I learned so much just from her, like, living life before I did. You know?
Oh, right, of course.
So it's like, I'm always interested what younger siblings do. But yeah. Okay, so then, man, okay, make a pop. And then, I mean, I guess we could go straight to, like, yeah, so when you moved back to LA, mm-hmm. and then just, like, you were doing auditions and, like, doing all the regular stuff, and then... You did The Voice, I guess, most recently, right? And
yes.
then how was that?
It was a really cool experience. Uh-huh. It was very long, the process, a lot longer than I thought, because I first auditioned for it, like, in the middle of the summer, and then I didn't start filming until, I guess, December.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, of, yeah. like, when was that? Last year, I think? Yeah, it was
cool.
last year.
yeah.
It was last year. Uh-huh. Yeah, and so, yeah, it was crazy because I've always wanted to do The Voice.
Cool.
And since when the first season came out, but I was too young to participate. I think you had to be, like, over 16 or something like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think I was only 14, 15 when the show first came out. Uh-huh. And then I moved to Korea. So then I didn't have an opportunity there, too.
Totally.
So after so many years, I think I got an email from The Voice casting saying, like, hey, do you want to audition?
Cool.
And I thought, yeah, that would be cool.
All right, yeah.
And I wasn't really doing much at the time. It was very slow. I was already done with Make It Pop for, like, a year then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was auditioning for other things, but nothing was really biting. And I was making, like, YouTube videos here and there and just, like, writing music. And I thought, hey, this will be a pretty good opportunity for exposure.
Totally.
And I would love to get mentorship from one of the artists on the show. And so I auditioned, and I was able to be casted as one of the contestants for the blind auditions. And that was, like, a crazy thing. I don't know how much I could talk because I signed an NDA. But it was, like, a really long process. We were there for, like, in a hotel for, like, a whole month.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah, wow. We're not allowed to see, like, family and friends.
Wait, So do some not do the blind audition? I guess I don't really know the inner workings of The Voice. So is it, like, some...
It's, like, multiple, like, auditions.
Okay. But then some will, like... Okay, so that's just, like, the first level, and then it's, like, you stick around. Okay.
And then for the TV auditions, yeah.
Got it.
But not even everyone who made it to the casting for the blind auditions get to really be on TV.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, that actually happened to me because when I like, did my interview with Carson Daly and, like, everything, all that stuff, I told my story. But unfortunately, I got edited in the episode. So it was just, like, a clip of me singing my song, Killing Me Softly by the Fugees for, like, 10 seconds.
Got it.
And then they moved on to the next person. I was really disappointed because that was the reason why I didn't even care about, like, not that I didn't care, but, like, I didn't even, like, expect me to move further into the show, okay. into the competition. I just wanted my story to be told on the blind audition. I wouldn't be sad if no chairs turned for me. Mm-hmm. As long as my story got there and I got to sing my song, and that's that. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. So that was the most like the downside. But overall, the experience was very interesting, cool, and Alicia Keys is such a sweetheart.
Cool. Yeah, you got to be Team Alicia. That's very cool. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and then that's something you don't know what they're going to air until it's on. Is that the case? Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So, because I remember, so I did like Last Comic Standing, which is like just stand-up comedians, but it was a short show and it used to be different producers or something, but the way that they did it for us, it was like 100 comics. So in my brain, I was like, oh, they'll like show all 100 of us. And I was like chatting with everybody and everybody's like, oh yeah, like, Sierra, they're probably just not going to show. And I think they showed, like, 66 of us. And, like, I mean, I luckily got in there, but, like, I know for a lot of people it was watching the day of and, like, you're just not sure. And I think it was I don't know. Like, I think it's still great to, you know, be a part of any of these things. So it's, like, hard for those people to complain. It's hard it's hard to complain if you're like, well, then there's people who didn't even get on in the first place.
Exactly.
But I totally understand because there's all this buildup. You're, like, in a hotel for a month. You know, like, you kind of feel like, oh, yeah, then they're going to show the thing.
When I'm local, too, I was like, I wasn't even able to go home.
Yeah, you can go home.
I was, like, 20 minutes
away.
So
they don't want you to talk to anybody because it's kind of like they want you to be in that mindset.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Confidentially.
Yeah. They don't want anybody to know all the secrets. All right. But yeah, I see. So that's really still though the voice and like seeing it for everybody, like that is the show now. Because I remember like it used to be maybe American Idol, but were you more into The Voice or American Idol when you're
It was always the voice. I mean, I did watch American Idol because The Voice came much later.
Right.
But yeah, ever since The Voice came out, like, this is such a fun show.
That's amazing. but yeah, I mean, because I think the interesting thing, too, is, like, when you had these kind of, like, calm moments in between, and I know we're kind of been, like, hitting the highlights. But, like, you know, as far as this podcast goes and, like, being able to kind of stay in that mindset of like, okay, then the next thing might come. I think the waiting game is always really
hard.
And like, how have you been able to cope with that after like a lot of like high stimulation events and then like, okay, there's a lot of waiting too.
Yeah. So before The Voice, it was a lot of waiting then too. But I was able to cope with it a lot better than this year. So like after The Voice aired and all, this whole year, well, I mean, it's not over yet, but
still got time.
Yeah, until like October-ish, I was feeling a little lost.
Okay.
To be quite honest, I wasn't sure where else I could go. I think for the first time in a long time, I was feeling very stuck. I wasn't sure of myself. I was having a little crisis moment, a lot of crisis moments, and a lot of anxiety of what I want to do in my future and what my destiny is, all of that. Even when I was always sure of it ever since I was so young, I knew that in the end I want to be a performer. I know I want to be an actor. But then there's so many things. Like, I write music for other people. I write music for myself. Yeah. I make videos on YouTube. I'm gaming now and I'm acting. No way. So what am I? And so I was having like this crisis moment, and I think it was like an early, a quarter life crisis.
Sure,
for me.
Yeah.
But I actually recently turned over a new leaf and kind of tried to reprioritize my passions, and also try to find new motivation. And I think that's the hardest thing when like things are slow and always repetitive and the same. It can make you feel very discouraged and kind of keep you in a bubble a vicious cycle where you're constantly thinking of the same thing. Exactly. And you're just like, what am I doing? And you're just going and going, but you feel like you're not going anywhere. How did I get over it? I don't know. I think it's just like, I talk to a lot of people, and I think that's the best way. That's the first step, like, to get out of your own head release your thoughts with words, and talk to someone and get like insight from a third person, you know, a third party person. I got a lot of insight from a lot of older girlfriends, for my mom and my boyfriend and like just like so many different people in my life. And I just try to, you know, release myself and got that out there. And I wasn't sure if like hearing words back made me feel a whole lot better, but it did help.
Cool.
Because it's hard to just like heal it like right then and there.
Right.
And I think this year, more than any other year, I've kind of felt all of the hardships that I went through in my life with the Korea thing and like things with my family and whatnot, like any hardship, it kind of like it hit me all at once this year. I think it kind of bottled it up because like I said, like I was always busy moving on to the next thing.
Totally.
But now it's like at a time where it's just like it's calm. The water is calm.
Right.
So nothing is happening.
Yeah.
I realize. Okay.
So it's just like a lot of talking to people. And for me, I think my escape is like watching movies and playing video games.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And it might sound silly, but like I think that's something that I've never really realized until now, that I've always tried to find a way to cope with any kind of like stress.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always through that kind of entertainment.
Yeah. Escape.
Yeah, it was my escape. And that's why I love fantasy.
Okay, yeah.
And any kind of like fiction story or fiction driven like video game or something like that, because I was able to escape into that world. And so that's when I realized, hey, I like love to play video games and it makes me super happy when I'm stressed out. Maybe I can play video games like online and then get help other people release stress too.
Totally.
And so that's my newfound drive and motivation.
Is that like Twitch or like okay, cool. I've like never actually gotten into as much like Twitch specifically, but I know I like in theory it sounds great. And then there's this like new thing too where you can like watch movies with people and stuff, because I feel like it's always nice to have somebody in the room with you, like if you're not, and we're so isolated
like,
these days
to,
that it's like okay, well I guess I'll have somebody virtually in the room with me. But that's amazing. Because like finding those things, I think especially for somebody who's been so busy and then you know is a lot of things need to feel as if they're going towards something.
Totally,
maybe. Like, because I feel similarly that it's like, okay, taking that time to, you know, self-care, people call it, or like whatever, these things that aren't maybe necessarily working you towards your goals, but then at the end of the day they are, because they're helping you like clear your mind and stuff.
In the end, your goal, everyone's goal should be to be happy.
Sure. Happiness. Exactly. But that's cool that like you were able to, you know, come to terms with that. When you say like, refocusing on or reprioritizing your passions, what do you mean? Just like,
so there's so many things that I do and there's so many things I like to do, but it's, how do I put this? So I've always considered myself as a singing actor, although for many years I've always kind of struggled with balancing what I like better.
I
get that a lot in interviews, like, are you more a singer?
Sure.
Are you more an
actor?
They want
to put you in like a lane.
Yeah,
I guess.
A category. And I'm like, I don't really know. I like both.
Yeah.
But I think in my head, somewhere in my head or my heart, I always knew that acting was like, if compared to like singing at a show at the Rose Bowl to like booking the lead role on a TV show, or like not even a lead role, like a sub character, like a guest, recurring guest star, or series regular, like I would rather do that than like singing at like
telling
a really big venue or something like that. And so that's something that I've been thinking about more, trying to figure out, make my goals more clear. Because I feel like just as you go with life, you have many, many different goals and ideas, and like along the line you like hit those goals or like you somewhat hit them, so you have to keep rearranging new goals and passions to keep that feeling new. Otherwise it feels like very empty, and that's how I've been feeling. And so I've just been like thinking like, what do I want to do and why? And so a lot of those things,
Well,
I don't know if that made any sense.
Oh, total sense. Well, I mean, the fact that you can compare, and I think that's, like, a great way to do it. If you go to the extremes of, like, what's the mega star version of this thing, and then, you know, Rose Bowl versus TV show. And if you can either, if you can already pick through there, then that means, oh, okay, you're probably
Do I want to win a Grammy or an Oscar?
You know, what a fun choice. But yeah, obviously then that way it makes it a little clearer. And then you can work on what you actually want to do, which is like hard when you have many talents, you know? And I mean, and I wonder about that thing too, because I do, I don't know, like I also feel like when people do try to like put you in a box, because that's kind of like a marketing thing too. It's like, oh, well, I want to sell myself as like this kind of person, you know, or like, and so it's oftentimes like avoiding the idea that we have to be one thing, but it is good to like at least not try to be something that you're not.
Yeah, of course.
In order to like fit whatever way the wind is blowing. But, but yeah, that's always a tricky thing.
Yeah, that's something that I'm always kind of dealing with.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that just like, yeah, the fact that you sing and act alone, like that's already so, I mean, like, luckily they're a lot, they're related, so you can do multiple things in the same realm. But for sure, that's already something that like you hear every action is like, what do you like better? Like, you know, and then, or it could be Lady Gaga and just like kill it at everything. So, you know,
luckily there's a lot of films nowadays coming out with,
with music, very music involved. So it's like an asset. But that's exciting. Cool. So then I don't know, like what else do you think, man? I mean, it's cool that it's happened in this past year. And I mean, it's, it's even funny to think that like, you know, just a few months, you can already have that revelation, which is great, you know, because I feel like that's actually pretty quick. Like I've been like kind of like lounging around for years. I'm like, yeah, it'll be fine. But yeah, I know. It's like, it's good to have those revelations early and like, you know, at a point where you can already change gears without it being too late or whatever, whatever too late
means. I think it's because I have, naturally, I have a personality where I kind of like rush things in or I like, I rush myself. So if I feel like I'm, for a period of time, I'm just like, I feel like I'm not doing anything, then I start to get really anxious.
Sure, yeah, it's like the, oh no, I'm like, I'm stressed because I have too much work, or stressed because I don't have enough work.
Yeah, and I'm like, ah, I need to do something about this. And so that's how I was very actively trying to find help and trying to organize my thoughts and all of that stuff. Did I was journaling a lot too.
Oh yeah? That's another really good way to get out of your head. Like, I guess when we were talking about, you know, speaking to other people and putting yourself out there, was that like difficult for you, or is that something that you've kind of always been pretty comfortable sharing with other people close to you, or
I consider myself as pretty much an open book. I think I tend to trust people pretty easily, and that can be a dangerous thing as well.
Just gotta trust the right people, I guess.
I think it's because I like to treat people the way I like to be treated. And so I think that me opening up and telling my story to another person is a way of showing them that like I trust you and I want you to trust me too.
I feel like that's such a shortcut, quote unquote, to like friendship, you know what I mean? Not that like that makes it sound like me, like not mean or like clever or something, but no, I just mean that like it's a great way to
build like a genuine trust, friendship.
Right, if you have like a short amount of time and you're like, I remember I noticed this because I think I grew up in the same place, and so I never really had to like make new friends as much because I wasn't like moving around, of course, and, you know, and that was very comfortable. Obviously I was very lucky, but I think that what I noticed later is like, oh, okay, I gotta open up more, and I think that's something I wasn't used to because it's like vulnerability. But it's also such a great way to like be like, oh yeah, you know, this is something that I'm gonna share with you, and then that's like a big deal.
I love talking about that stuff. I guess it's weird to say I love being vulnerable or feeling like I can open up and talk about my feelings and have someone reciprocate those feelings back. You know, that's what true friendships are. And I always try to find, not find new ones, but I always, with every relationship that I have with someone, I try to dig deep and try to make that friendship more than just like, hey, how are you? Good to see you. Like, what are you doing? What projects are you working on?
I see. Yeah, that's tough because it takes time, but, like, you can kind of expedite it, like, speaking to you. But, like, yeah, that's, like, a great way to do that, but definitely tougher for some people and others.
And I totally understand that.
No, that's cool, though. And I think, like, we're lucky, too, because I always wonder about, like, I mean, this is so not true across the board, but I feel like in girlfriend relationships, you know, it's like, oh, we're always just like dumping, like in a positive way, but it's like debriefs are like long-winded conversations, describing everything.
And then I wonder,
you got to go through all the lists. But I wonder with like, sometimes I see like my boyfriend and his guy friends, I'm like, what do you guys talk about? It sounds like it's a little fewer words, or they talk about like other things, but that's just the way, you know, different people do different friendships.
And yes.
I mean, it's definitely not just a gender divide, yes. But I think that like, you know, I've been lucky enough to have, I think, other very long-winded friends, mm-hmm. which makes me feel more comfortable to be like, good. All right, let me like spill
it's
it
important.
All out.
Yeah, it's very important.
Let me really just like write this novel
for you. Yeah,
sit down, buckle up. But yeah, that's great. So yeah, I mean, in that sense too, like, do you feel like you have been able to, I don't know, have you learned anything about listening or learned anything about mentorship mm-hmm. in this past, you know, or in the past few years, but specifically that, because you're a talk, you're a person who likes to talk to people.
Yeah, I definitely believe in the impact and importance of mentorship and building good relationships around mm-hmm. you, because that is the only reason why I was able to survive through any kind of hardship whatsoever. And also, that's how it takes a village, you know?
Yeah.
So that a lot of the people that I really has spent the time on me to say anything about the things that they know about the industry or their lives, mm-hmm. People that I've talked to for either a few minutes to hours or months, those everything that these people in my life have said have helped me shape to be the person I am today. Cool. And I really believe that's like the power of influence from other people.
Totally. Do you have a piece of advice that you've received that you feel like is probably the most helpful, or
there's so many. I think if an idea that comes up in your head and will stay in your head unless you write it down first and then you put action to it,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
even if it's a small little action, but that gets it out to the real world.
Okay,
that's cool. One of the things that I thought, like, you know what, there's so many ideas I put into my head and I just like kind of like forget about it because I don't write it down,
right?
Or like mm-hmm. I don't talk to someone about it,
right?
You know,
it becomes like real once you actually put it down, even if you haven't like fully finished it or whatever it is.
There's that great. And there's also something recently that I heard when I was kind of going through some like people issues. I feel like this happens to everyone. I mean, we live in LA, and I was feeling very jaded at some point. Mm-hmm. I felt like a lot of the people I was hanging out with, I felt like they weren't people that are trying to get started in the industry too, or mm-hmm. Influencers and like a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I felt like I was kind of not being used, but I felt like I was giving a lot of resources, and I wasn't being appreciated, or like those feelings that I wanted like weren't being reciprocated back. So I think at one point I was telling one of my older sister like figures how like I hate everybody, people don't people are so ingenuine, and no one appreciates me. And what she told me is that like it's a valid feeling, everyone goes through it, mm-hmm. But no one is obligated to like be your friend. No one is obligated to give you something. Like if you feel like you want to give something, like whatever it is, a resource or tangible thing, whatever it is, to someone, you should do it just because you want to do it, not because you expect it. And it's not like I was doing it to expect something back, but I guess just as humans, like when you give something, you like it would be nice to receive something back, right? But yeah, like that's something that was kind of like I always talk to this this friend because she's always very like straightforward and blunt with
so
her advice.
Yeah, she's like you kind of need that.
Yeah, stop being so like such a little baby and just like just accept the fact like, that the world doesn't revolve around you. And like if you want to if you want to be a good person, you could be a good person without expecting people to be good to you back. And it's like really, it sounds really harsh, but actually that I found a lot of peace through that too.
Yeah, peace is such a good descriptor, because I think I feel that way in the sense that like the minute I get into a zone of like, maybe it's jadedness, but it's more like thinking that I'm like owed anything.
Yeah.
You know, not that like, because I think there's a balance. You want to feel, you don't want to let everybody walk all over you, right?
Exactly.
And I'm always scared of that too, because I definitely have let that happen in the past. But like, there's also the realm in which you could get into like feeling like if things are owed to you, you're kind of fighting this like internal battle that doesn't even need to be fought.
Yeah.
You don't need to be angry about it.
Yeah. And then it's just and you're overthinking yourself. Things too. Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like that is actually good. It's like good to hear and good advice, especially if you're in a realm where you're just like mad in your own brain.
Yeah.
Because I can just get into like little, you know, the hamster wheel thing, but in maybe an emotional side of that. And for sure, that's like, it's good just to be like, oh yeah, be at peace with the fact that like, it's fine.
Yeah.
And, like, it'll be fine. But for sure, the fact that if you're able to give something without expect or like, actively think like I'm not expecting anything.
Yeah,
that's right, because it's not even like I don't feel like I'm ever like, oh, here, take this, but you know what that means. I get
never
a coupon for an IOU.
Yeah,
like, yeah, it's never that, but it's like,
yeah,
it's just that sometimes that is naturally attached to that in my
brain,
you know,
especially when it becomes like a like repetitive thing, like if you've done multiple things for someone.
That's tough. Because, yeah, because I also feel like I get into a realm, too, where I don't ask for anything as
much.
You know, because it's like, oh, well, I don't want to be on the flip side of that version.
But exactly.
Then it's like, if we all let it go, then we're all kind of, like, in this giving system, you know?
Yeah.
But that is tough.
It's so hard, tough.
It's easier said than done, right?
It
it's
is.
It's like, okay, I'm going to be an angel and just...
It's such a human experience.
Right, right, right.
It's so human. Yeah.
Totally, totally. But that's great. I mean, and it's great to have a blunt friend, because I think sometimes, you know, and I don't know if I could ever be that friend. Maybe with close friends, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
but, like, it's definitely in my nature to be like, oh, I just want to, like... be like commiserate
lightly,
instead of
lightly sugarcoat.
And so that's good. Good, keep that.
I always go to her when I really feel like I need some truth, because
I know
that she's gonna say to me.
Cool. And then it's also you know, maybe it's a thing that like as we get older, it becomes clearer. So then we can like more easily say things. Sometimes I'm like, well, I don't know anything, so how do I even give you advice? But yeah, that's great. That's a good one. Have you received any bad advice?
I think I just like forgot all the bad.
Sure, good, perfect. Don't need it. Exactly.
I can't think of anything. Have you received any bad advice?
I don't know. Because sometimes bad advice, I'll think it's bad advice, and then it turns out to be good. I'm like, I'll go later. I'll be like, oh, that person was right. I just didn't want to listen to them. Or you know, maybe it is bad, and I should have learned right away. No, I don't know. Like, I'm just thinking, like, because sometimes, you know, I feel like I'll get sometimes advice from people who have been, you know, doing this for longer, and they'll kind of tell me to, I don't know, manage expectations or slow down, and that can often feel like, oh, well, you're just trying to like make it so that everybody goes at this pace that is prescribed rather than, you know, at our own pace. But and then sometimes it's like, I mean, maybe I should slow down. I don't know, you know, who knows? Maybe it's just the time of day.
It's
if
just
you're feeling like you want to be slow, go for it. No, I don't know what kind of. Specifically, because it's hard to tell, and it's oftentimes
it
from
is.
People who you're not sure if they have your best interests at heart, or if there's like a weird thing going on in their brain at that moment, and then maybe they would come. Because I've also
like
had
how do we know if it's gonna be bad advice or not?
And it's like, and sometimes I've had people come back later and be like, oh yeah, that thing I said to you, like, sorry, I was in a weird spot, you know, like that it was like something they were going on with, and
I'm like,
good thing I didn't internalize that too hard, I guess. But yeah, I don't know, so it's
actually
interesting.
I think I just thought of something. A lot of when I told a lot of people that I was going to move to Korea as a teenager, I had a lot of friends who told me not to go. A lot of close friends, a lot of close YouTuber friends, actually, were telling me, don't go to Korea. I know how Asia goes. We've all been there. It won't be what you're expecting. You're going to be like, you're going to be cut down. You're going to be miserable. And for the longest time, I'm like, what are you talking about? Stop trying to, like, stop me from doing what I want to do. And I'm like, oh, you're just jealous that I'm going to Korea and trying something new. But in some ways, they were right. But I'm glad that I didn't internalize that too much.
Right.
Because I really appreciate the experiences that I had, even if they were, not all of them were good. But, yeah.
Right, because, it's good that you got to, like, go through that yourself.
Yeah.
So and that you didn't have to be like, oh, what could have been?
Exactly. You know? And I was, I even got some kind of success through it as well. Like, after the singing competition, I got some exposure and I got signed to the label. And even though the label wasn't very good in the end, but after I released my song, like, it got some more exposure through that, too. And I was able to, like, also gain some new audiences through that as well, a new fan base that still is with me today. So there was a lot of things I took from it and that they were actually wrong about. They thought that was not going to make it at all.
Got it. I see.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It was like a few things. Like, at that point, it was maybe more of a, like, you don't know if you're even going to, like, do a label thing too. But so it worked out. But for sure, it's like, It is tough, I think, with advice. And then sometimes, you know, I'll give advice and then I'll be like, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have said anything. You know, like I didn't know what I was talking about. What am I talking about? But yeah, so that's fair.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, I mean, we're kind of nearing the end, but I did want to ask a couple, like, rapid-fire-y questions. But also, they're pretty, they could be hard, so take your time. Oh, I don't know. Not hard, but I'm just like, it's like, they're a weird question. It's just
I'm bad with interviews.
Like, no, you're killing
it. I'm not a very good speaker.
I can't tell. Oh, you're amazing. You're fine. So have you had, and I guess we kind of like covered a lot of this already, but like, have you had like a specific high point in your life?
A specific high point?
Or in the past year or, you know, so, you know, you can make that time frame smaller if it's easier.
I think my highest point was when I was filming Make It Pop.
Cool.
Because I was just constantly working and. Yeah, I was always on this high.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, staying busy, doing what you love. That's always great. And then have you had, like, a low point?
My lowest point, I thought it was this year, but actually it was last year. Like, way before I did The Voice. I got booked for a lead role in this huge studio project, like, animated studio film. I'm not gonna name it because I did sign an NDA, but I recorded it and everything. I was super excited because that's also one of my dream jobs, to be the lead character in some kind of animated film, because I love animated films. And so I recorded it and everything, and one day I get a call from my agent saying that casting and, like, producers decided to recast my role and, like, change the script and everything, and they ended up casting someone with a much bigger name. That was, like, such a, like, heartbreaking moment for me. Like,
it's so crazy because that can happen.
It does.
It's so crazy. But, of course, you know.
Yeah.
It's
that's like, when I felt like, wow, this is Hollywood.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
This is such a Hollywood thing.
Specifically, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that was probably one of the moments. Like, and I was going through a really bad pilot season at the time, too.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I've had this casting director tell me to my face that I was a terrible actress. Jesus. But he ended up, like, casting me later for another show.
Weird.
But, like, much later. I think he was having
a
bad day.
Yeah. What's happening?
But that really got to me, too. So, like, a lot of really bad things happened at once.
Got it. Yeah.
That was probably my lowest point.
I see. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's so tough. But, yeah, it's crazy how, you know, that can just happen, and it just makes you realize, like, oh, okay, I guess it's, like, kind of gotta, you know, be happy that you got in the first place, and then, like, you know, got to do it, and, like, it means that other things are in your future,
because
you're able to even do that, but of course, like, in what world do we, like, say we got a job, and then do the job, and then,
know.
You know, and then
got
the
fired.
End part, yeah, it's like, it doesn't make any sense, but yeah, that's rough, I mean, but hey. It's good you went through it, and then now you know, like, how things,
yeah.
I mean, like, it's just so interesting because, well, I mean, you're no stranger to at least this world and, like, how it works, but I'm a little, I'm, like, definitely much newer to it, and so it's interesting seeing friends go through, like, more conventional paths, and knowing, like, oh, you know, like, and then I interviewed, and then, you know, and then you, like, pretty much get the job, and then, you know, you have that job for, like, 2 years, and you're, like, at least, or more, until you quit. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's different.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like, we're not, definitely nothing gets taken for granted.
Yeah.
because it's so crazy. And like, even if you do an amazing job, it could mm-hmm. be just things out of your control.
Yeah.
That like have nothing to do with you, you know?
A lot of politics involved. Totally. Yeah. What's so funny is that mm-hmm. like, I was talking to my mom, like, oh my gosh, like, because I think we saw an article of something, someone being like recasted for something. Mm. And it was also for an animated project. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, even if I booked it, that doesn't mean that it's really happening so until strange. The movie's released.
Yeah, you gotta wait till it's like on the screen. Mm-hmm. Like, did everybody see that?
I don't know if I jinxed it or anything, but like 2 weeks later, that's when I got the call.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but it does, I think it's just one of those things that like, it does happen so it does. Often that like,
it's so
but it's like
often.
Hard because. It's, yeah, you don't know about it until it happens to you, I think.
Mm-hmm. It came out so suddenly.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. And like, and then, you know, I see those headlines as well, and you're just like, oh, I wonder, okay. You know, it's like, it doesn't really make sense, because it's like not in the realm of like, this person was recast. It's more like, oh, and then this new person. And then, yeah, it's just, but yeah, nor always factors that like, are just completely up in the stratosphere. You're like, I don't even know what's going on. I see. But that's good. I mean, like, now you're back up. You're going to go have your new high point. I believe it.
Thank you.
It's always, I mean, but thank you for sharing. And then I guess, like, if you have, and then you kind of talked about, like, you know, you do video games and watch movies and mm-hmm. stuff. But if you have any, like, particular, oh, and talk to people. But mm-hmm. any other, like, specific thing that, maybe it's a mantra or something that you like to do when you're in a low point or feeling down that, like, helps you kind of keep that light at the end of the tunnel in mind.
I cry a lot.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a very easy crier. Mm-hmm. And I think after a good cry, eating something that you really wanted to eat.
Nice.
Yeah. I think food is a good way
to eat. It's like the appetizer is crying.
Yeah, not that you should always eat when you're sad. I mean,
sure,
that could be
a balance.
Yeah, there's a balance. Uh-huh. Yeah, but sometimes treating yourself to a good meal and a good cry can be very healthy for you.
Yeah. What's your like go-to meal? I'm trying to think what mine might be.
I always choose carbs, like the carbiest thing. Like I love Korean style pizza.
Oh, okay.
It's an acquired taste because it can be a lot heavier. Uh-huh. But it's crazy because there's so many different flavors. Okay. So, like, I don't know if you tried Korean pizza before.
I've been to, like, Hello Pizza. Is that crazy? Is that Hello? The one that it's called? I don't know. I've been to some
Korean-owned
pizza restaurants, but I don't know.
You should go to Koreatown pizza.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I haven't.
They're really good. Like, in the crust, it's, like, glazed with, like, cheese, but, like, inside, it's, like, sweet potato filling.
Okay, I think it's amazing. Have tried that. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. So it's just, like, really creative.
Yeah.
Going up all the flavors that are
very innovative pizzas. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, that's always, like,
yeah, best. I love good...
Or tacos.
Good thick crust.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Delish. All right, now we're hungry. All right, well, thank you so much, Megan, for doing this
thank
in the first place
me.
And taking the time.
Yay,
thank you. Okay.
It was a good time to heal.
Oh, yeah, actually, wait, where can people find you, just in case?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you want to plug anything.
Yeah. You can just follow me at Hello Megan Lee on pretty much every platform.
Nice.
You can now follow me on Twitch and on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Nice. Hello, Megan Lee. Okay. And Megan with M-E-G-A-N.
M-E-G-A-N.
L-E-E. Okay. Yay. All right.
Thank
Bye.
You.